This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Today's broadcast is a previously aired program by our speaker emeritus, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, given in 2008. We pray you will enjoy hearing his Reformation message entitled, How Can the Reformation Affect Our Lives Today?
The Reformation is an event in church history which dates back to the 16th century. Martin Luther and John Calvin were two of the most prominent names in this Reformation event. How can what happened nearly 500 years ago affect our lives today? We're going to talk about it this morning. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given your word to us. But we confess that often people corrupt that word, make it say things that it never did say, adds to that word. And so, Father, we thank you for the Reformation. We realize there needs to be an ongoing reformation, that word might be pure. Hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On October 31st, 1517, a 30-year-old monk by the name of Martin Luther posted his 95 theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany. That really marked the official beginning of the Reformation event. My question that I ask you today, how can what happened nearly 500 years ago affect our lives today? When the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ left Jerusalem to go to all parts of the world, they carried with them in their hearts a message of the good news called the gospel. It was a very simple message. It started something like this: God loves you, and he created you in his image. You fell in sin, and as a result of that, you were out of a relationship with God. But God loved you so much that he sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world, and through faith in him and in him alone, we have the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of life eternal. That's the gospel. That was the message that Peter preached to the people on Pentecost Sunday when they asked him after he had told them that they had crucified Christ. And their question was, what shall we do? And Peter said a very simple message. He simply said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. It is the same message that Paul announced to the Philippian jailer when, after he had found his sin, he cried out, what can I do? And Paul said to that man in Philippi, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your sins will be taken away. And on that particular day at midnight, it says, the Philippian jailer and his whole family were baptized and became members of the church. The point here is that in the scriptures, the gospel is a very simple message revealing God's love, and therein the person has his salvation. Now, when Martin Luther came along as a young man, he had some real spiritual concerns. His question was, how can a person find peace with an angry God? No longer was the church proclaiming that simple message, that God is a God of love who sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die. And simply by trusting in him, you can have life everlasting. Oh, I think that was a part of their message, but it was so clouded over. They had added all kinds of things. And this you had to do, and that you had to do. So they came up with the understanding that faith plus a lot of good works could bring you into the kingdom of God. And that's the only way you could get there. But the works were tremendously important. And so people were continually under the stress of wanting to know if they had done enough, that they might live in a relationship with God that would bring them into heaven. That was the setting that Luther lived in, and it bothered him terribly. He had a brilliant mind. He was a student at the law school, but so concerned with his spiritual state that he left the law school and entered the Augustinian monastery to become a monk. His thought was that by being in a monastery behind big stone walls, he could knock Satan out of his life. But symbolically speaking, the first one he met when he got inside of the monastery was none other than Satan himself. In 1512, after years of study, Martin Luther attained the degree of Doctor of Theology. And then he went, sooner or later, to the University of Wittenberg, where he became professor of Bible. It was while he was preparing his lectures on the Book of Romans that he came to this one great verse that is found in Romans, the first chapter, verse 17, which is our text for today. It says, "For in the gospel, that is, Jesus Christ died for your sins," that's the gospel, "for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." The Holy Spirit worked through that verse. And as a result of that, Luther suddenly received that revelation from God based on the scripture that he was saved not by his good works, but he was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He only had to turn to the fifth chapter of Romans and hear those very words. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have attained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." In other words, it was a revelation. Sometimes we call it a discovery, but it was more that God came to us in the scriptures, as he always does, and says, "I have a story to tell you." And the story is this. And in Luther's case on that particular day, the story was, "Luther, I love you, and I sent my son to die for your sins. And when Jesus Christ died at that cross, he paid the price for your sins. So if you trust him, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You do not contribute one single thing of your own. It is by grace alone." When this made such an impact in Luther's life, he could not remain quiet. And so he wrote 95 theses, and he posted them on the castle church door in Wittenberg. He was debating the church. He was crying out, "The things that the Pope have done are not according to Scripture. Indulgence is where you can buy an indulgence and that will help you to get into heaven. We're not found anywhere in Scripture." And so the fathers of the church at that time became very, very concerned. And they one day said, at least one of them did, "We have a wild boar who is loose in the vineyard. What kind of a message is this to be carrying to the people when it does not have the blessings of the church?" The only problem was it had all the blessings of the Word of God. So finally, after some time, Luther was called to one trial after another and to the last one, which was held in Worms. And there he was told that he would have to recant. These are his immortal words at Worms. "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is bound to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go contrary to conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen. Here I am. I can do no otherwise." With that announcement, Luther was convicted a heretic and was excommunicated from the church. And the Reformation was on the way, for there were those who followed, and out of that came the Protestant church. Now, that's a story in history, and it's one that I love to tell, and it certainly should be told at least once a year, and that's what I have done today. But my question is, how can that event in history affect our lives? Because it must be more than a study in history. And so I would like to talk about the effects of the Reformation. It is centered in this one great thought, that by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I am his forever. That is a gift that God has given to us, and that gospel is renewed and reshaped and brought back to its purity in the event of the Reformation. When I was a lad, and even during the early years of my ministry, we seemed to make more of the Reformation Sunday than we do today. Our church would always have a Reformation Sunday, and we would sing, as we have sung on the program today, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And then often we would have rallies where we'd go to a large auditorium or a large church, and we would have speakers from other parts of our community, different parts of the United States and even the world. And there would be huge choirs, and crowds of people would come. There is less of that today, at least where I live. And I sometimes ask the question, why? Why do we not set aside that Sunday that we're in a very special way? We are reminded of the need to keep the gospel pure. Well, there are some answers, and I think some of them are true. Maybe some of those experiences became rather ugly. Maybe they were negative. Maybe it was a good time to chew away at our friends in the Roman church. And if that were true, that was not what it was ever intended for. That is no longer needed. And pray to God it isn't there. But there can be positive blessings that come to us from the Reformation, where whether we're Protestant, Catholic, or what we are, we can review the biblical teaching of how am I saved? And that is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is a great benefit. Now, what technical theologians are doing with the subject of justification, I know not. Oh, I read them. I partially understand them, but I don't think they're quite convicted it is all over in this real tense situation between Rome and Protestantism. But we have come a long way. For those of us who are on a lower level, I believe it's a higher level, but let them say the lower level. What are we learning? We are learning that we have an awful lot in common with one another in the church. I real often sit with a brother or a sister from the Roman Catholic Church and visit with them. We are a group of people in the retirement center where I live, and we have some marvelous illustrations. There I see some very devout people from the other church, and they confess their faith to me in Christ Jesus. We bow our heads together occasionally and pray and thank God for one another. We're not bringing up every last issue that has to be settled, but we can be one in Jesus Christ. I believe, friend, that every generation needs to have a reformation. You know, when human beings are given the gospel, it is a precious gem. But how it can be distorted. How in our day and age we can eliminate things from the Bible that we would never thought of doing a generation ago or two generations ago. In our own beloved denomination, and I know that we're not alone, it would never be questioned that there is but one way of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. Today we're saying, well, is that quite true? Is it really true? Might there not be another way? The Bible says no. And we are held captive to the Bible. It is not to be changed. These great truths are not to be eliminated. And so when we preach on the Reformation and talk about that central message that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, we have to take a look at these passages. And then we can do it as people of all denominations in the church, loving one another and saying, what does this mean? And a Presbyterian and a Baptist and a Methodist and a Lutheran and a Catholic would say that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross, he paid the price for my sins. And if the church from whence I come has now distorted that teaching in some way, I can't help what my church is doing. And certainly I don't mean to give the impression that the churches are all doing that. But if it should come from there, then so be it. The scriptures have said to all of us from these various denominations, it is in Christ Jesus that we are his forever. And in him alone, we have our salvation. Isn't that important? Isn't that important for us to know and to talk about and to rejoice in? Doesn't that reach over the 500 years that has passed since the 95 Theses were placed on the castle church door in Wittenberg? And once again, we can have a very simple gospel, and people ask, what is this Christianity all about? It's just about the gospel. Jesus died for us. Now, does that mean that we then can go out and live like the devil? Of course it doesn't. When that gospel has grabbed my heart and has assured me of salvation, I want to serve my Lord. I want to love him. I want to know that he stands by me and I am his forever. So once again, we have the simple gospel, and it can be clouded over. And then it has to be cleaned up again. And sometimes I believe that there has to be an ongoing awakening in the church. For one generation after another can put its clouds on this tremendous Reformation message that only can we accept in faith. Today, it gives us back the central teaching that we enter into and a personal relationship through faith in Christ. So, my friend, may we find our peace in knowing that we have a Savior who truly loves us. It doesn't matter so much, does it, what denomination we belong to. if we but cling to that cross, if we but say, there alone, he is my rock of ages. Nothing in my hands can I bring. Simply to his cross I can cling. And then I'm safe forevermore. God be praised. Amen. Father in heaven, we come singing that great hymn, Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Luther was looking for a place to hide, but what Luther needed was a Savior who would send him into the world, not to hide, but to tell the story. We pray, O God, that we may realize that that is our mission too, to go and to tell the story. Today there are so many who do not understand. We pray, O God, that you will take away some of the confusion and that we may get back to that simple little gospel once more. Jesus simply loves me. Grant, O God, that we may be forgiven in the church when sometimes we add to or subtract from that divine inspired word. We pray that we may be given the ability to teach it so simply that the Holy Spirit can take that message and burn it into the souls of those who yet have not that peace which you alone can give. So sustain us in our faith and send us on our way rejoicing, knowing that no matter what happens, we are yours forever. Bless the sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, and the dying. May they find their peace in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help you to cling to the cross of Jesus, your rock of ages. A number of devoted Christian Crusaders listeners has chosen to include this ministry in their estate planning. In this way, these donors leave a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To learn more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You're also invited to visit us on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. If you'd like a copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We are pleased you chose to worship with us today, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was our speaker emeritus, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is privileged to have been broadcasting biblical truths continuously since 1936.